Blog Talk Radio.
Have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your teacher and host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church.
Thank you.
Good afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and welcome to today's broadcast of Watchmen on the Wall. You know, God in theology is known as many things, but one of the things that we know God to be is a divine warrior, a divine warrior. And the Bible tells us of Moses praying that prayer, saying, "Arise, O Lord." See, it's a prayer. Now, they just sang it as a song. They sang it as a song. It's called Hosanna Integrity Music Ministry, calls it Mighty Man of War. But that's just taking a portion of the text where Moses prays as the people of God march. Moses prays that God would arise and scatter the enemies of Israel. And this is where we come to know God in theology, in scripture, as the divine warrior, how God fights our battles and God causes our enemies to go into flight. And we're going to be talking about that today as we consider 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 to the end of, to the very end of that particular chapter. We've been doing this study on 1 Samuel. And if you recall, saints, we started this study, it's almost going on 2 months that we've been on this particular subject. In fact, I can tell you exactly when we started. We started on Saturday, February the 6th was our first study. Saturday, February the 6th. And thus far, we have done 5 studies, and today would be study number 6 on the subject. We started by reminding ourselves that when we pray, it is God who does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And we have been encouraging ourselves to go to God in prayer, who's waiting for us. You know, God is waiting for you in prayer. He's waiting for me in prayer. In our first study, we saw how we should pray for homes in distress. We should pray for homes that are in turmoil. We should pray for homes that are in a constant soap opera experience. And this was the case of Hannah, Samuel's mother, who at the time, Samuel was only a dream. Samuel was only a desire. Samuel was something she wanted but didn't have. Remember that Hannah was married to Elkanah, and she was barren and bare not. As a result, Elkanah married his second wife, which the law of Moses permitted him to do so if his first wife was barren. His second wife's name was Peninnah, and she began to have babies year after year after year. As a result, Peninnah taunted Hannah and said, "Look, he loves me. He doesn't love you. Look at all the babies we have." And so she tormented her rival, Hannah. So Hannah teaches us to pray for homes in distress. As a result of praying for homes in distress, we did our second lesson, in which Hannah, who believed that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, prayed for a miracle and received her miracle. She prayed for the miracle and received her miracle. What did she pray for? She asked the Lord for a man child. And the Lord gave her baby Samuel. And that's why she called him Samuel, because Samuel means God heard me. And obviously God being El, Samuel, El is the strong one. In essence, the strong one heard my plea. The strong one heard my cry. The strong one heard my prayer. And he answered and he gave me the miracle. So that's the second thing that the second study we covered. Then in our third study, we saw how it was imperative for us to pray for a fresh prophetic word, a fresh prophetic word. And we saw that God did indeed give the nation a fresh prophetic word by means of a prophet that God sent to rebuke Eli and his sons. And we need a prophetic word. We on occasion and in many seasons of our lives, we need a strong word of exhortation, a word that will bring about course correction in our lives. Then we saw in our fourth study how not only should we pray for a fresh prophetic word, but we should also pray for a prophet. We need prophets in the house. Not on occasion just a prophetic word, but can we have someone, can God give us someone with the office, with the prophetic office? And we saw that God gave the nation Samuel. He gave Samuel first to himself. And then God sent the Samuel, the young man, to the nation of Israel, and he began to prophesy. So notice, we can pray for homes in distress, lesson one. We can pray and receive miracles, lesson two. We can pray for a fresh prophetic word, lesson three. We can pray for God to give us a prophet, lesson four. Last week we prayed for God to clean house. And we saw God answer our prayers, and he answered the prayers of the Israelites in that God did clean his house. See, God cleaned his house. Why? Because his house had become polluted. Because Eli, the high priest, had allowed his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to pollute his house. And so the nation was praying for God to clean up his house. And God cleaned up his house, but you know, he didn't use Samuel the prophet to clean the house. And he did not use any of the Israelites to clean the house. God used the Philistines. Those were his instruments. The Philistines were God's instrument to clean his house. And it was the Philistines who came up against Israel, and in battle, Hophni and Phinehas were killed, and Eli, when he got the news that the ark of God was taken, fell backwards, broke his neck, and died. So in essence, Samuel did not have to lift a finger because God came and cleaned house. He cleaned house. And if you notice, Hannah had prayed the same thing. Hannah had prayed that God would clean up the mess in her house. And God did. And by cleaning up the mess in her house, we see that God also desires that he would clean the mess in his own house. And he did exactly that. So notice the pattern. God cleaned the mess in the house of the woman that prayed. Then also God cleaned the mess in his house, which was supposed to be not a house of prostitution, like Eli's sons had turned it into, not into a den of thieves, like the sons of Eli had turned it into, but God's house was designed to be a house of prayer. So God is in the cleaning house business, whether it be your personal home or his house. Today, we're going to look at the lesson entitled, Let Us Pray for Revival. What is revival? Well, revival is when the house cleaning spreads. You see, first God moved in the spirit to clean Hannah's house. Then God moved in the spirit to clean his house. Now, revival is when God moves and he spreads his work to clean everybody's house. Everybody in the church, every family in the church, every now and then needs a good house cleaning. Needs a good old-fashioned house cleaning. Everybody's house, every now and then, needs a house cleaning. You know, this is springtime. In fact, tomorrow's going to be the official day of spring. And normally in springtime, people do spring cleaning. Spring cleaning. Isn't it apropos that one day before the official day of spring, where many are already into their spring cleaning activities? I can tell you because my wife was up this morning doing a whole lot of spring cleaning, and I was hiding. I didn't want to be drafted. You can tell she was into spring cleaning because all the buckets were out, all the mops were out, all the brooms were out. All of the cleaners were out, the spick and span, the bleach, the oils that the oils that you use and the rags to dust all the furniture. I mean, her hair was up. She was just dressed for spring cleaning. And once I caught an eye of her with her gloves on, and I just tiptoed to the house and got out of there because I didn't want to be drafted. But you know that the Spirit of God does draft us. He does draft us so that we can do spring cleaning whenever it is necessary. And you, my brothers and sisters, would agree with me. You would agree. You wouldn't deny it. You wouldn't deny that every now and then our hearts need spring cleaning. Our minds need spring cleaning. That there are days in which we separate ourselves to seek the face of the Lord. That there are days in which we make up our minds and say, you know what? I need to draw near to God. I need to draw near to God so that I can meditate on God's word, and God's word can point out my spiritual deficiencies, and I can get right with God. It's called consecration. And there are days, there are times of the year when a pastor declares such and such a day, we're going to be shut into church, and it's going to be a day of consecration. We're going to be seeking the Lord. We're going to be seeking God. We're going to be seeking his face. We're going to be seeking his presence. We're going to be seeking his goodness. We're going to be seeking his person. We're going to be seeking out the Lord. Because what does it say in Second Chronicles? In Second Chronicles chapter 7, Second Chronicles 7:14, look what it says. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Saints, there are days in which we need to come and humble ourselves. There are days on which we need to come and add to our humiliation prayer. And adding to that prayer, seeking the face of God, seeking his person, seeking an audience with the Lord, seeking an appointment with the Lord. And then, once you humble yourself, once you pray, once you seek an audience with Almighty God, then it's time to turn from our wicked ways. And that turning is supposed to be permanent. He expects us to do a permanent about face, because no doubt we are heading in the wrong, in what direction? The wrong direction. We're headed, in fact, we are driving on the highway of trouble. You're on the wrong highway. You're on the wrong side of the road, going nowhere fast, headed for trouble fast. You're in the fast lane, headed for trouble. And here is God. He's got signs out there. And one of the signs says, humble yourself. Another sign says, pray. Another sign says, seek his face. Another sign says, turn from your wicked ways. Now, are you going to get off that highway? Are you going to get off that highway? I pray that you would. I pray that you would do exactly what God recommends in his word. And that is to call upon God that he may bring about a revival. What? A revival. We desperately need a revival. So, saints, let me play a hymn, a song, rather. I'll play this song. Right after this song, we'll get into today's study. And while the song is playing, while the song is ministering to your heart and to your mind, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7, because we're going to spend our day, our session, our lesson, talking about 1 Samuel chapter 7. I'll be back right after this song. Yeah. Yes, indeed. First Samuel, chapter 7, verse 3. You know, Samuel was a fantastic prophet, used mightily of the Lord, to bring prophetic words, to change the course of a nation. I mean, that's the kind of prophetic words Samuel had. It altered. His prophetic words would alter the course of the nation of Israel. It altered the course when he brought the prophetic word to Eli. It altered the course when he anointed Saul, the first king of Israel. It changed the course of the nation of Israel when he anointed David to be king in Saul's stead. I mean, Samuel was a man who just, when he prophesied, I mean, his prophecies just took the nation to higher heights. But you know, not only was his prophetic ministry profound, but his revival ministry was equally profound. You see, when you preach revival, when you are involved in revival ministry, which is what Samuel was, revival has to do with repentance, bringing people to repentance. And by repentance, we mean that you cause people who are going the wrong way to turn around, Now, people don't get turnarounds just by wanting turnarounds. You have to preach turnarounds. And we're not talking about getting a financial turnaround or getting, you know, an employment turnaround or getting, you know, a physical turnaround. We're not talking about those kinds of turnarounds. We're talking about the turning of the heart back to God. You see, there are two turnarounds in repentance. First, you turn away from that thing which is luring you away from God. It's taking you away from God. And then we need to pray that in that turnaround, when you turn around from that thing that's deceived you, from that thing that's beguiled you, from that thing that's tricked you away from God, now we need to pray that you get turned around towards God. Because listen, look. Let's just say that you get turned around if you're a man. Let's just say that you get turned around from a bad relationship with a bad woman. Okay, well, you can get turned around from, let's say, from following a Jezebel. But if you get turned around from following a Jezebel and you find a following an Athaliah, then the turnaround really didn't mean much because you just went from one wicked woman to another wicked woman. And let's just say that you get turned around from following Athaliah and you wind up following a Delilah. Well, what good is that? So you've been turned around twice. You were headed in the wrong direction. You were following a Jezebel. You turned around from that mess, but you wound up following an Athaliah. Well, pick your poison. And let's say you get turned around from following an Athaliah, but now you wind up in the lap of a Delilah. Well, you just picked another poison. So, you see, it's not just being turned around from something that is evil, but it's turning around to something that is good. The ultimate good is God. So revival is when you get turned around from evil and you turn to the Lord. That's revival. That's what we're praying for. We're praying, saints, look. The book starts out, 1 Samuel starts out with God intervening in Hannah's home, a home full of distress, a home full of heartache, a home full of pain. God fixed Hannah's home. God fixed her terrible situation. And then we saw later on how the people prayed and God cleaned up and fixed what was going on in his house. But that's not enough for God to have fixed Hannah's home and to have fixed his house when there are so many other homes in the congregation that also need a visitation from God. Revival is when God visits every family. Revival is when God visits every home. Revival is when God visits every marriage. Revival is when God visits every couple. Revival is when the move of God spreads from one house to another house to another house. And this is what we should be praying for, that God would visit not just his church. Because, you know, when you think about revival for a moment, and all of these revival services that people are having. We just had a week of revival in the church. Well, you know what? The revival stayed at the church because it never visited your home. It never affected positively your home. It never changed your marriage, changed your relationship with your children. Listen, if you had revival at church, but you're still having hell at home, you didn't have revival. Now, you can deceive yourself into thinking you had revival, but you didn't have revival. If revival stayed at the church and never, never, never got to your house. So now let's read Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at verse 3, because I want you to see that this is what we should be praying for. We should be praying that God would visit our homes. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at verse 3, because beginning at verse 3, going all the way to verse number 17, will show you and show me, will outline for us what is true revival, so that when it comes, when it appears, then we know that we're experiencing a move of God. And please let us pray that God will send revival. He's already sent us a prophetic word. He's done more than that. He's already sent us a prophet. He's done more than that. He's already cleaned house. He's done that. Now let us pray that he would clean everybody's house. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning at verse number 3.
And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.
You see what Samuel says? He says in verse number 3, he says, If you do return unto the Lord. You see, it's a turning, it's a repentance. And you see, you're returning to God and you're turning your back on the strange gods. And Samuel says, and if you prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, then and only then will he deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. But it begins with what? What does it begin with? It begins with returning to the Lord and turning your backs on the false gods. Let's read verse 4 and following.
Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only.
You see, then they did what Samuel told them to do, which is what? Turn your backs on these gods. Turn your backs on, like a man, if a man was to turn his back on his Jezebel, on his Athaliah, or his Delilah, if you would turn your back on those wicked women and turn back to the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 4 that they did exactly what Samuel said. Now, you can have church services and you can call that revival, but you really don't have revival until you do what God is demanding. Then you will only have revival. Look at verse 5.
And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord.
Now he calls for a national prayer meeting.
And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there,
We have sinned against the Lord.
And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah.
You see, so Samuel had a prayer meeting. He prayed for the people. He gathered the people at Mizpah. They drew water. They poured water out, which is a sign of repentance, which is a sign of confession. Then they fasted on that day. Then they actually did confess. They did utter that they did sin before the Lord. And then Samuel preached to them. He judged them in Mizpah. He told them what was right and what was wrong. Verse 7.
And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel,
"Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines."
And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying,
"Hitherto hath the Lord helped us."
So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel.
There you have it, saints. Look, God cleaned house, because it says in verse 13, the Philistines who it was their practice, it was their routine to harass God's people. It says that once Samuel came on the scene, and once Samuel preached revival and called for a fast and called for prayer and called for the people to confess their sins, once the people did all that Samuel required them to do by the word of the Lord, then the Bible says God fought their battles, God expelled the Philistines from their territory, says in verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued. That means they were overcome and came no more. You see, my brothers and sisters, we have trouble in our homes because we haven't repented. We haven't confessed our sins. We haven't put away the Balaams and the Ashtaroths. We haven't come clean with God. And as long as you don't come clean with God, the enemy will have his foot on your neck. But when there is a revival, when you allow God to clean your house the way he cleaned his house, when you let this revival extend itself, when you give yourself over to God in consecration, when you decide, when you make up your mind, when you are determined to live by his standard of holiness, then God will answer all your prayers. Then God will begin to clean your house. Then God will begin to expel your enemies. Then God will begin to subdue them. And as it says in verse number 13, they will not come in anymore into your coast. For the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. But it says more than that. Let's read verse 14. Because all that the enemy had stolen, all that the Philistines had stolen, was recovered when there's a revival. Let's read verse 14 and following.
And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord.
And there he built an altar. In other words, he wasn't a phony. What he practiced and what he told you to practice in your home, he built an altar in his home. he was the Samuel was the real deal. Are you the real deal? Are you a watchman on the wall that has an altar in your home? Does your home have a family altar unto the Lord? You know, the altar is needed because that's where the revival fires burn continually. Do you have an altar where the revival fires burn continually? If not, why not? Well, saints, we'll leave it there. I'll let you ponder all that was said today and encourage you to seek the Lord, to seek his face, to pray, to turn from your wicked ways, and to confess your sins. Be transparent with the Lord, and he will bless you and transform your home as a result. God bless you, saints. Love you in Jesus. Don't forget to tune in next Saturday, where we'll have another broadcast of Watchmen on the Wall.